The scripture this morning needs a word of interpretation. You will not find in most of the Bibles, at least the few Bibles that we have, the wisdom of Solomon. You will find, however, the Song of Solomon, which if you were to read these verses, you would be encountering some of the most racy text in all the Bible. So you may prefer it. Song of Solomon very seldom ends up in sermons unless it's highly allegorized. But the Wisdom of Solomon is a book that is in some Bibles that contain extra sections called the Apocrypha, and it appears in the lectionary as a choice this week, and is, in my mind, a very interesting passage, so that's where we are, in the Wisdom of Solomon. Do not cause your death by the sinful things you do, or let your actions drag you down to destruction. God did not make death, and death gives him no pleasure, for he created all living things that they might continue to exist. There is no destructive poison in them. The palace of Hades is not on earth, for God will always be just. When God created us, he made us immortal. He made our human nature like his own. But through the devil's envy, death entered the world, and all his followers die. Here ends our reading from the Wisdom of Solomon. May God fill us with understanding and wisdom. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, who is indeed our rock and our salvation, we ask that you would stand beside us and gird us today and always, that we might find and listen to the truth that you give us, and find ways to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Wisdom of Solomon, like the book of Genesis, wants us to know that God's creation was good. It was created for life, and here even for immortality. God did not make death, and death gives God no pleasure. There is no destructive poison inherent in God's creatures. God made us all and all of creation after God's own image. Of course, it didn't stay that way very long. Things headed south in a hurry. The snake, or Satan in the guise of the snake, tempted Adam and Eve, and the rest is our sordid history, so to speak. But the story begs a question. Where did Satan come from? Heaven was perfect, and out of heaven came a perfect creation. How did everything so quickly go off the rails? Now, people have been trying to answer such questions for a very long time, and almost always they have told stories to do so. The ancient Jews were among the most creative and inveterate storytellers there ever were. And they told stories, and still do, that embellished and explained the stories in the Bible to help explain what the Bible left unexplained. And this question, how evil got into God's creation, fascinated them to no end. In one of the stories, after Adam and Eve had been thrown out of the Garden of Eden, and they are living their hard lives, Eve cries out, "Woe unto thee, you devil! Why do you attack us for no cause? What have you to do with us? What have we done for you to pursue us with craft, or why do you assail us with malice? Have we taken away your glory and caused you to be without honor? Why do you harry us, you enemy, and persecute us to the death in wickedness and envy?" With a heavy sigh, the devil spoke, "O human being, all my hostility, envy, and sorrow is actually because of you, since it is because of you that I was expelled from my glory, which I possessed in the heavens in the midst of the angels, and for you I was cast from the earth. Adam answered, "What do you tell me? What have I done to you? What is my fault against you, seeing that you have received no harm or injury from us? Why do you pursue us?" And the devil replied, "Adam, what do you tell me? It is because of you that I have been hurled from that place. When you were formed, I was hurled out of the presence of God and banished from the company of angels." Well, maybe the devil has left out a few of the details. The story told from a more objective vantage goes like this. After Adam had been endowed with a soul, God invited all the angels to come and pay Adam reverence and homage. Satan, the greatest of the angels in heaven, with 12 wings instead of 6 like all the others, refused to pay heed to the behest of God, saying, "You created us angels from the splendor of the Shekinah, the splendor of heaven, of God's dwelling, of God's being. And now you command us to cast ourselves to be bound before that creature which you fashioned out of the dirt of the ground." God answered, "Yet this dust of the ground has more wisdom and understanding than you." Satan demanded a trial of wit with Adam. And God assented to it, saying, "I have created beasts, birds, and reptiles, and I shall have them all come before you and before Adam. If you are able to give them names, I shall command Adam to show honor to you, and you shall rest next to the Shekinah of my glory. But if not, and Adam calls them by names that I have assigned to them, then you will be subject to Adam, and he shall have a place in my garden and cultivate it." Thus spoke God. And he took himself to paradise, Satan following. And when Adam beheld God, he said to his wife, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Now Satan attempted to assign names to the animals. He failed with the first two that presented themselves, the ox and the cow. God led two others before him, the camel and the donkey, with the same result. And then God turned to Adam and questioned him regarding the names of the same animals. Though you'll see that the contest wasn't quite fair, for God framed his questions in such wise that the first letter of the first word was the same as the first letter of the name of the animal standing before him, and thus Adam divined the proper name, and Satan was forced to acknowledge the superiority of the first man. Nevertheless, Satan broke out in wild outcries and reached out to the heavens, and he refused to do homage unto Adam as he had been bidden. The host of angels led by him did likewise, in spite of the urgent representations of the angel Michael, who was the first to prostrate himself before Adam in order to show a good example to the other angels. Michael addressed Satan, "Give adoration to the image of God. But if you do not, then the Lord God will break out in wrath against you." And Satan replied, "If he breaks out in wrath against me, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." And at once God flung Satan and his host out of heaven, down to earth, and from that moment dates the enmity between Satan and human beings. Now later, Satan describes to Adam what happened next with him and his followers. "And straight away," Satan says, "we were overcome with grief, since we had been spoiled of so great a glory, and we were grieved when we saw you in such joy and luxury. And with guile, I cheated your wife and caused you to be expelled through her doing from thy joy and luxury as I have been driven out of my glory. When Adam heard the devil say this, he cried out and wept and spoke, O Lord my God, my life is in your hands. Banish this adversary far from me, who seeks to destroy my soul, and give me his glory, which he himself has lost. And at that moment the devil vanished from him. So, as the story goes, and it's not dissimilar from the one we know better, Satan wrought the human downfall by essentially inventing jealousy and envy. Satan could not tolerate the idea that another of God's creatures was greater than he was, especially one made from dirt. So envious and angry was Satan that he decided to destroy Adam and Eve. And how did he do it? He did it by the very same means as destroyed him. Satan, in the guise of a serpent, came to Eve, and he said to the woman, Did you say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Or did God say that you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, You will not die. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan infected Eve with the same envy and jealousy that were his downfall. Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to know as much as God? Don't you want to be as high as God? You're not going to die if you eat the tree, the fruit of the tree. You will be like God. God will no longer be above you. Go ahead, give it a try. And of course, Eve does. Now, these stories are very helpful, I think. They may not explain everything. I guess we would need more stories and probably more stories after that. For example, why was Satan susceptible to jealousy in the first place? We don't know. But what we do learn is that Adam and Eve's sin, as it were, was caused by something outside of them. At their core, as our passage this morning tells us from Wisdom of Solomon, there is no destructive poison in them. The palace of Hades is not on earth. They were susceptible to being infected by envy, which may be the world's most contagious disease, but they were, at their core, made for immortality and for incorruption. In many ways, I like this version of things. The stain of our sinfulness is on the surface and not in the heart. It is this light comes wisdom's admonition. Do not cause your death by the sinful things you do, or let your actions drag you down to destruction. In that light, it makes sense. We can choose a better way. But of course, we mostly don't. Throughout history, Adam, human beings, have much maligned Adam for their failures. That first one. In one of the old stories, Adam objects to having it all laid on him and Eve, and suggests that the humans who came after him were in fact often worse than he was. So once on a time, Adam said to God, I should not like the pious to reproach me and lay the blame for their death upon me. And God promised to fulfill his wish. Therefore, when a person is about to die, God appears to him and bids him set down in writing all he has done in his life, for God tells him, you are dying by reason of thy evil deeds. Once the record is finished, God orders him to seal it with his seal, and as soon as the person's life is extinct, he is presented to Adam, whom he accuses of having caused his death. But Adam repudiates the charge, I committed but one trespass. Is there any among you, you the most pious, who has not been guilty of more than one? And the person must open the envelope and read what he wrote. Now, these old stories give an attractive version of things, but we cannot miss that in the end they give us much responsibility. Wisdom pointedly says that God made creation to thrive, but human jealousy, envy, and greed have put God's earth itself in peril. God created us with integrity like his own, and Satan infected us with envy and jealousy. But wisdom wants to say that how much ever Satan has infected us, we can make choices to resist the infection. But too often, we let spite, greed, and resentment overcome us. We humans murder and maim God's people. Some of God's people starve and live in squalor, while others live in extravagance. And this is not what God made us for. Nor is it inevitable. God pleads with us, do not cause your death by the sinful things you do, or let your actions drag you down to destruction. And thanks be to God, we do have some choice in the matter.